Hello and welcome to the Florida Creatives Podcast. My name is Ryan Price, and today we are going to be talking all about creativity, motivation, something that will hopefully inspire you, or at a specific event where you can go to get inspired. And the woman bringing that to us is Terry Pappy, who is sitting across the table from me right now. And we're in your office, Terry, right?
Yes.
So tell us, let's just start right there. Tell us about this office and like why you are here. And let's start there and then we'll talk a little about you.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, thanks again for coming by and sitting down, having a conversation with me. I really appreciate it. And I love talking about what I do. This office here, just located off Mills in Virginia, is in the Van Baren building. And I moved in here with my company, which is Better 3. And one of the things that I enjoy most about it is I have one wall that is 19 feet long by about 8-9 feet high, and it's coated with dry erase paint. And I use that as my space to create and have meetings and workshops. And so I really love having a place to do that type of creative work.
Yeah, it's really fun in here. And, you know, there are lots of other interesting companies here. Like, we actually, when we were getting ready to record, it turns out one of my microphone cables just didn't turn up. So we were able to go to the video guys in the front hall and ask them for, do you guys have a spare cable that we could just borrow for half an hour while we're doing this thing? So that was kind of neat.
Yeah, it's a very creative building. We have Jack Tinsley and his company, Tin Men, and they're a full-service video production company. We also have Ben Van Hook, who is a wonderful photographer and director and cinematographer, and his offices are located here as well. So there's a lot of creative folks here and lots of good synergy and collaboration here.
And you have a nice view of the big empty field, which will someday apparently hold a bunch of apartments and maybe some retail, the Mills Park.
It's a mystery. It's quite a mystery.
Well,
so
yeah,
we don't
know
what's going on
there.
We'll
see what happens. So Terry Pappy, if you have not met her yet, and I don't know how you couldn't have met her because she's everywhere and she knows everyone and she does everything, you have a really sort of colorful career already, and now you're getting started with this new adventure, and your big ideas are floating all around Orlando. So why don't you just tell us really briefly, like, what sorts of problems are you trying to solve for people? Because I know that just giving me a job title is not going to be nearly enough.
That's true. And that's an awesome question, and I'll break it down into two categories. They're really related, being that they all benefit people, but I'll divide it into a professional and personal categories. And professionally, I've had 30 years of doing everything and anything in visual communications. And my first job out of art school was setting type. And that was before desktop publishing was even around. So that kind of dates me a little bit, but that's really how I got some of the best design principles were from the company I worked for was owned by a man who learned how to set type in hot lead. Mm. So he was an amazing typographer and an amazing craftsman. So I learned a lot about design through typography right out of art school. And that led to many different types of jobs that typically graphics professionals have, you know, whether it's working for an agency or for a newspaper. I've worked on the client side, the advertising agency side. I've also set color on a Harris press for a web offset company. And it's just led to so many different touch points along the life cycle of any piece of collateral or, you know, brochure or logo or brand or anything that we do to visually communicate in the professional world. And in 2006, I was working for Marriott Vacation Club and six years there, and I was running their web team. And they had a reduction in force, and so I decided to start my own business, and that's what I'm doing still to this day. And what I found in the 30 years that I've been working in this space in all different capacities, that people are really unhappy in their jobs, you know, and they don't really know how to communicate. They don't have the right information to make effective decisions. And I find that, you know, you can have the most awesome looking website or collateral or brand, but it's not going to fix the problems within the business. And so what I started doing was looking to what the customers were feeling and thinking about the companies that took care of them. And I did that primarily through writing, because I'm also a writer. And as I interviewed customers and even the team members in any particular organization of one of my clients, I would find remarkable, you know, missings, you know, what basically something that's not happening that they really want, you know, like they're missing connection, or they're missing acknowledgement, or they feel that they have some ideas about innovating something for their company, but they just don't have access to bringing it into a team discussion or actually implementing it. And customers just feel like they're taken for granted, that they don't really have a role in innovating with the company, that they want the company to succeed, but they just don't know how to access it either. So I'm seeing all these patterns as I'm conducting these interviews, so I can write copy about a business and develop their their positioning. And I say, and I go back to the business, and I'm like, are you guys really listening to what your customers are saying and your team is saying? So I found in the last few years this sort of sweet spot in my business where I can help an organization, whether it's profit, nonprofit, what have you, really identify their true value so they can go out there and talk about it, and talk about it in a way where their customers are really listening. And then just so they learn how to love their customers in a way where those customers get to be advocates and they're out there referring that company without even being asked, just because they're so happy. I mean, how many products do you use or swear by that you tell all your friends, I love this product, you've got to try this, it's awesome. Well, that recommendation coming from you holds so much weight, because in today's world, everyone's so cynical about what people are pitching and how people mm-hmm. are selling, and what they're really looking for is connection. And they want to be understood. They want to be heard. They want to know that they have unique preferences and that they really understand that, you know, if you want to do business with me, you've got to understand me too. And I think that's why social media is so powerful, because we're able to really nail that. But the people that are in your network, your personal friends, connections, what have you, excuse me, they trust you implicitly. So it's the intangibles that are valuable today: trust, time, responsibility, impact. Those are all the things that are really are priceless. So that's the area really that I'm working in now. Excuse me.
I mean, I would say that, first of all, I want to say everything you just said was so free of jargon and doublespeak that if anyone already hasn't thought about calling you in the last 8 minutes, you know, I'm giving you permission now. Pause this podcast and go look up Terry. If you think that what she's saying is interesting and fresh, then talk to her. It's a really similar message to what you hear repeated and echoed all over the web. But I think Terry actually understands what she's saying. And I think that's one reason why she and I are able to have really different kinds of discussions and go deeper in a lot of the areas where we're experimenting. I guess I'm now giving myself credit, but I'm the host of the show, so I can do whatever I want. And yes, you can just leave me a comment on the website. So just thank you for taking time to think about this instead of just taking the message off of the pages of this book and then saying, well, blah, blah, blah says that. No, this is Terry says that. And I'm sure you have lots of experience and other people that you could refer to and say, this person or this paper or this company has led me to the place where I believe this. But you also have lots of, you know, real world experience that has shown you this as well. And now you've got many years of a portfolio, and you could say, well, when I was working on Project X, you know, because this isn't your first time, you know, doing these customer interviews. You've been doing this for years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's at a level now where I'm, you know, it's kind of hard to explain. It's like true serum for the soul. And when I sit down with somebody, like, for example, if I have a business leader who has an organization that is not doing well, they're plateauing, they want to grow, but they don't know how, they're very focused on competition and what everybody else is doing, they keep spending a lot of time spinning their wheels around the features and benefits of what their product and service is. And so when I come in and I sit down, I take the time to really listen, and I ask them, I said, what are you really up to? I mean, what are you trying to accomplish in the world? What is your business about? What do you stand for in the world? And sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I just want to get rich. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that's a kind of an escape answer, because so many people measure themselves through what they earn, what they make. So I spend more time kind of digging underneath that to find out, well, what really matters to you?
Yeah.
And depending on the organization and who I'm talking to, I'm just profoundly touched and moved by what some of our local business leaders are really passionate about. And they do want to make a difference, and they do want to have impact. They do want to move their industries forward to more innovative, you know, socially responsible ideas. They want to be more conscious in what they're doing. But they're just finding hard access points in order to get into it. So my favorite thing to hear when I'm interviewing somebody is, nobody's ever asked me that before.
Mm.
Or that's a really interesting question. And they actually stop for a second and think about it. So for me, it's all qualitative. You know, the kind of things that I ask and that I listen for are, you know, what is really deeply rooted in emotion and feeling and, you know, something that somebody really wants. And this is where it gets into my personal area, where the right shops that I'm doing are to help people do that. And I have kind of, through all of the experience that I've had, the training that I've had, you know, only I have this perspective on how to do this. It's kind of what my secret sauce is, you know, to bring all these things together and then sprinkle a little Terry dust on it and really work with people to help them align with their visions and to find ways to have inspired action so they can move forward. And that's really what the Compass Right Shop is about.
Yeah. So that's really the reason why I asked you to come on the podcast this week and sort of get out of the Florida Creative's hiatus of podcast. It's on the homepage of our website, and it's been the same 5 episodes for a long time now, but hopefully, you know, you will go back and listen to some of the old ones, because they're all gems. Everybody who we've had on before is just doing things that I don't see a lot of people doing, period. And that's one of the criteria, I guess, is, you know, how do I get, why am I here sitting with you, talking to you and saying, I love talking to you, but I also want everybody else to experience this. It's one of the things that's just like tipped it over the edge for me was this workshop. So you're going to be doing, this is date specific information, but I'm sure that there will be future ones
mm-hmm.
too.
Yes.
In May, the first weekend of May, you're going to be doing some workshops here at your office.
Actually, no. These are going to be in Baldwin Park, and we have a nice large space there that we're going to be using. And what I decided to do was, I'm in the process of writing a book, and I'm referring to the book as the Playbook now. And it's the first version is going to be kind of like a generic version that anybody can use for whatever they're looking for. And the purpose of the Playbook is really to be just that. It's a book that you play in. It's kind of like a journal. It's a structured yet unstructured format where you can really define what it is that's important to you and what that looks like. And the goal of it is to, you know, so many times I run into people, they just don't have time. They're overwhelmed. They're stressed out. They have financial burden. They've got family responsibilities. You know, gas is $4 a gallon. And, you know, my boss is leaning on me all the time. I'm spent, you know, and their health is deteriorating. And people are just losing their sparks. And when I look at business, and that's why I call what I do in my work transforming business relationships, I want to create a movement where people love their work, that there's joy in the workplace, that we feel that we have impact, but we can do that in our personal lives too. And so this right shop, and I call it a right shop because really the people who are attending this are going to be writing their futures. And so we live and we speak into that future. So it's not really a rule-driven process, but it's an environment where you can be incredibly creative. And I will always push people to think bigger, think bigger, think bigger. And because we are so self-limiting often. And so it's basically a place where you can have permission to really, you know, say, I would love to start my own business. And but how do I do that? Well, normally in the world, what we do is we go out and we get a book and figure out, okay, what do I need to do? Or we talk to an expert and they say, well, you need a business plan. You got to do this. You need investors or whatever, depending on what you want to do. And so what I call that is motivated action, where you're basically taking action based on what external forces are guiding you, and that it's driven by a fear of if you don't take that action, then there's going to be something that'll happen that you don't want, something negative, or you'll lose an opportunity or what have you. So you're like, and I think that's why a lot of people struggle with goals. You know, they set goals and then it's like arduous, or it's an effort to, you know, reach that goal. And I don't want this to sound like every goal is bad. I mean, goals are a very powerful way to live life, and there are many tools out there. Stephen Covey, for one, is a great way to, you know, set goals and move forward. And if your personality style is such that that works for you, then keep doing it. If it works, keep doing it. If you're getting the results that you want, absolutely. Excuse me. But what I believe in is I think that it's much more powerful to take action based on inspiration. And I know that kind of sounds a little woo-woo, like what's driving your inspiration? And in the Write Shop, we develop what that is. So, for example, if you want to start that business, part of the Write Shop, you'll spend time literally writing what that is. And I have a wonderful way of help because I'm, you know, I'm a writer myself, so I can, you know, draw a scene with words. And I can help people really get visceral with their descriptions of what that world is like, you know, how many people are working in the company, what impact does it have on the community, what does the building look like, you know, what's the weather like, what is a day in the life. So you get all the physical trappings and that touch all the sensory aspects of it, and that's how you start building that world, kind of like visualizing, kind of like mind mapping. You see what I'm saying? There's so many different things that have come into play into what I've developed. I've been influenced by everything, but it's, I guess, my soup, my stew, that is making it my Write Shop. And then after that's created, then we go into, like, drawing that. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the elements? And we get very granular into the drawing of it. And, you know, this is not a Write Shop for people that have to be artists. Matter of fact, the worse a drawer you are, the better. And if any of you follow David Gray or David Sibbett, you know what I'm talking about with visual, graphic, and graphical meeting.
David Gray has a great book called Game Storming that I own one. I don't think I've really gone through many of that. I mean, it's really, it's a tool book. It's not necessarily something you would read front to back, but there's definitely a lot of really interesting stuff
and,
going on there.
And Back of the Napkin, too, is another one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be going out to the Grove in California this fall to get certified in Grove graphical facilitation. So I'm really excited about that.
Awesome.
Really excited about that. So anyway, back to the Write Shop, we go through that process of really kind of getting even more detailed about that. And in the Write Shop, there's sharing. You know, so people will say, okay, what does your picture, you know, what is it that you always wanted?
Yeah.
You know, they'll be like, I always wanted to learn how to fly a plane. And so everyone gets to share and kind of, so it's the power of creating it with your hand and putting it down in a book, so you're recording it. So it's real. It's actually becoming real.
Yeah.
And you're the one driving it. You're the one who has the knowledge of what that looks like, what it's going to be like for you. And then the final part is where we see that world through other people. So we write more about how other people are viewing us. So when we're living in that world, how are our attitudes different? Mm-hmm. You know, how are we happier? How are we making more money?
Right.
How are we having a bigger impact in the business world? You know, depending on what it is we want.
So part of this is it's a visualization. It's like I'm going to use this word and then I'm going to pretend that I didn't use this word. The secret, like they talk about on Oprah.
Yeah.
if you put it out there, if you can actually see it happening, then it has the possibility of really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to put it into words is a really, really important one. Like you say, being able to write it down is, it's, you know, probably for different people it works different ways, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then sharing it with other people, for me, is always a really big one, is like making this more than this is my idea into this is our idea, this is our plan, this is what we are going to accomplish. But sometimes everyone else doesn't have that same, the fire for it that mm-hmm. you do, because they haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to see another workshop that says, here's how the two of you or the three of you go through that same exercise and all arrive on the same page, kind of.
Yeah. Well, here's the clincher. You know, what I just described is pretty much nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us who write do this on a regular basis. The I guess, unique thing about it is it's driven to be more specific. But what the clincher is that you take this vision, this ideal world that you've created, and it doesn't matter how far off you think, you know, you don't have to start getting in the mechanics of how am I going to make that happen. That's defeating the purpose of it. Because to drive inspired action, you have to have that world be your point of focus. So it's a matter of focus and retraining where you're giving your attention to that keeps you focused on that hopeful future, that future that you're living into, you're speaking into. So what ends up happening is you start having things line up that inspire you to take action toward that future. And what ends up happening is you're enjoying the process and enjoying the journey, as opposed to being burdened by the responsibility of motivating yourself to do certain things to get what you want.
Yeah.
So it's really a difference in attitude, and it's a difference in your energy. And you have more energy, and you're able to just be happier in what you're doing today, because everything's grounded in appreciation of what is today.
Yeah.
But still wanting more, because as human beings, we're wired to always grow, always expand, and it never ends. And we're always creative. And the way things are today, it's easy to fall into the trap of being stifled creatively. And I'm not, don't hear creatively as artistic, you know, dancer, a performer, or in the traditional sense. I mean, creative as in someone who invents something that wasn't there before.
Well, and that's our definition here on the podcast and at our meetups. And, you know, now that I'm involved with Urban Rethink, it's a very similar definition. It is people who create things, not just people who make art. And, you know, science is a really huge one. You can't discover new things about the universe unless your brain is able to, you know, imagine a world where that is true. So everybody has some creative streak, and some people do it as their job, some people have it as a hobby. But as soon as I hear I'm not creative, it's like my mission in life to convert that person mm-hmm. into the what I would consider to be the truth. You know, you're selling yourself short if you say I'm not creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's very powerful. And I truly believe that every single person on the planet has not only an innate ability to create, but an amazing ability to be powerfully impactful to other people in the world and to love other people. And so I really want them, you know, the people that I touch in the world, whether it's somebody in the grocery line or somebody at Starbucks or, you know, a family member of mine, I want them to really know that they can make a difference, that they can, you know, get that world that they've always wanted, even if it's just a world with more joy in it, because that's really what I want.
Great. So, question for you. We talked about visualizing these ideas. And let's say that you've got two people, pretty much the same, you know, circumstances, but one of them has had this idea yesterday. The other one has had this idea in their head for at least a year, let's say. Do you believe that these big ideas have a shelf life? They have a, not a shelf life, a half life. Like at a certain point, they become baked in your head.
I think I know where you're going with this, but let me tell you what. Everyone's idea that they have in their head, whether it's been in there for a while or whether it's been in there just spontaneously by today, is evolving every second. So that idea, that vision that you have is something that, okay, there's that idea that I have. Like for me, I had this idea for a place where everyone can go and meet, and I called it the big idea. And you were with me when I had that epiphany that day. And I, of course, saw it as a building where people would go and there'd be these big whiteboard walls and we could all collaborate and work together and problem solve and team build and just have fun. And that was it, and that was the idea. And what I allowed that to be is an example of this write shop, of this process. So I got as specific as possible, but every time I went back to work on it and add more specifics and more detail, it continually evolved. Because in every moment we're evolving, we're changing. There are different things that happen to us that we witness in the world, in reality, that we're passing judgment on, that we're saying, I like that, I don't like that, I want more of this, I don't want more of that. So we're constantly refining our preferences. And as we do that and we move through life, we're actually refining what it is that we want that's out there in the future. And what ends up happening is the more we try to kind of conform something to the day that we've initially thought of it, the harder it is for us to actualize that. So if we just kind of let it be, but yet champion its future life, then it can actually be more amazing than we even thought it would be able to. And that's what's happening with this big idea. I mean, this is with the playbook and these write shops and where I'm planning on taking all this work, and then my movement for business, for really transforming business culture around customer love and just team love, it's taken on a whole new aspect that I never even planned. I never even thought of. But I'm just letting it be, and I'm letting my life kind of dictate exactly where it's going.
Yeah.
Did so that answer your
that
question?
That was
I don't know if
a way of saying, yes, I believe that there is a difference between the idea I had a year ago and the idea I had this morning, because I'm different.
Yes.
It's interesting for me. I often use myself as an example during these shows because I'm the only other mirror in this room right now, or we can use case studies of other customers, I suppose. Some idea will happen in my head. I will tell someone about it, or I'll write it down, or whatever it is, however it is that I recapture that idea. And some point, I don't know if it's a year, if it's a year and a half, after that happens, all of a sudden, for no reason at all, like lightning bolt hits my head, and I am able to write down the exact mission statement of why I think that idea was good. But if you ask me to do that on the day that I had the idea, it's like trying to write with a rubber pencil. It's like it doesn't ever come out as in the same way that it would a year in the future. And I just feel like there's some incubation period, for me at least, that I have to have it with me for some amount of time before it really, really, really makes sense. And this even happens when I have a job and I'm working on, I'm going to use Potentials as an example. It's this company I worked, it was a social network, and you know Darren McDaniel. I was working with Darren for a long time and trying to understand, number one, how do we make all this technology stuff work? But then how do we make all this social stuff work? There's lots of different challenges there. And then at a certain point, I had put it down for a few weeks. I was working on other things, and then I couldn't go to sleep because I was like, this is how it is supposed to work. And it wasn't so much just like a mission statement of describing like what's important here, but like what would be the ideal way to realize this. And I don't know, sometimes maybe you just have to have time off from it. You have to think about it every day, or sometimes you just have to have, you know, more experiences, more world experiences more life experiences, and then you say, like you say, you're building your preferences. But I do feel like there are some things that only time can answer, right? You could go to as many experts as you want, mm-hmm. but they're not going to be able to give you the same answer as you could give yourself once you've had time to reflect on it.
And could there be a possibility, because we don't know, there's so much we don't know about the brain or understand about the mind and thoughts and how all that works. But as when you get those kind of flashes of genius, so to speak, where it's like, oh, I just solved that problem, or you have some things that just suddenly flood to the front of your mind and you have to write it down just because it's so amazing. How did you feel when that was going on? I mean, when you had that moment.
It feels fantastic, right? It feels like you can do anything for those few moments. You're able to conquer sorts of problems that you never thought were possible, right? Something that was very muddy now just comes into focus. And somebody who actually talks about this, I haven't had a chance to read his book yet, but Stephen Johnson, Where Good Ideas Come From, is the name of his book. And he has a couple of books, but this one in particular is about almost that very thing of, you know, maybe it's idea A and idea B have existed for a while, but no one has ever tried to combine them. And as soon as you do that, it makes this explosion. It makes that really, you know, cataclysmic, humongous new thing is now born, or is so much more focused. Another source for this is Peter F. Drucker, who has written tons and tons of books about management and corporate environments, and a really great book called Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And he talks about how an idea can be a really, really great new thing, a new invention, whatever that happens to be. Let's say that it's the diesel engine is one of his examples. The diesel engine existed for, I think, 35 years before anybody actually used it for what we use it for now. And originally, I think it was used for like driving boats or something not as interesting as like cars and tractors and trains, especially. Taking it to a train made it so much better, but nobody ever tried to put it into a train before. And one of the problems with the combustion engine originally was that it was horribly inefficient. It was like driven with like logs and smoke and steam, and someone just changed one little tiny piece of it, you know, about 10 to 30 years after it was originally invented. You just make one small change to the design, and now it's suddenly this explosive growth, and everybody's using combustion engines within 3 years. Whereas nobody was using them in the last 30 years since the invention of this thing. So Peter F. Drucker, if you like that train of thought, go check out Innovation and Entrepreneurship. That's my recommendation for you.
That train of thought, right?
That train,
yes. The train metaphor.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's amazing because who's to say that that idea wasn't out there? It was just a matter of that right person at the right moment to actually access that information.
Yeah.
And that's why inspired action is really powerful, because sometimes these things are deep in our brains, but we don't allow them to be accessed because we're not stopping and allowing ourselves to have those moments of inspiration. So kind of a conscious way to develop this is to actually sit down and, well, what is that? What does that look like? What is that world all about? And anybody can do this. You know, what I want to do with the playbook is I want to have the, I guess the coaching or the guidance for it is a free PDF on my website, so people can actually have their own playbooks. I think it's really important that, you know, we take the time to ask ourselves that question: what's important to me? What do I want? And you can make it anything you want. It's just a conversation. That's all it is. But what it can turn into is a point of focus that drives inspired action that can actually get you to that reality.
Well, that's great. You know, I think that's like what is new or unsolved for me from today is like, that's what I had to talk about, I guess. What about just, I always want to ask people the questions about like living here. Like, what about Orlando? What about Central Florida? What about Florida? What about the Southeast has either brought you here, kept you here, made you decide to stay here for some time to come? So we've got this cool building where you're sitting now, mm-hmm. in arguably the coolest neighborhood in Orlando, right? Virginia Mills District, Mills 50 District, the area surrounding the big orange building, Audubon Park, I don't care what you call it. Here we are. and there are tons of places where you could have set up shop. Mm-hmm. So what brought you here?
Well, originally in 1991, I'm from Pennsylvania, and I can remember laying on my back underneath the crawl space of a 100-year-old home in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on January 3rd with a hairdryer trying to unfreeze my pipe so I could take a shower and go to work that morning. And I said, that's it. I'm done. So part of one of my dreams was to live in a climate that was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I can't say anything other than Orlando just has an amazing climate. You know, Florida in and of itself is one of the most beautiful states. And I've been all across this beautiful country. And Florida, for some reason, just has a special draw for me. And it's not like a hot weather, cold weather thing. It's just more the energy here is very soothing to me personally. And I find that the variety of weather that actually is here is, yes, it's subtle for someone who's north of the Mason-Dixon line. However, the subtlety is how it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And whether you're looking at the way the dew forms on your windshield on a spring morning, or the way that a live oak never drops its leaves all year round, but yet it still goes through its own change in color and texture, and in spring how all the new leaves are just bright, brilliant green. It's a beautiful place, and I love to stop and just look and just absorb. I think one of the most amazing things about Central Florida in general is the cloud formations. I've never seen a place on the planet that had more beautiful cloud formations. At any time of day, you can have a span of one day and have a million different paintings of clouds during the day. So for me, it's definitely the energy of the atmosphere, the environment. I think that the vibration of Orlando, as far as the people set that make up this community, is incredibly diverse and frolicky and frisky and, you know, just eager for comfort and very close socially. It's a very well-networked social town. I daily run into people who is, oh, I know that person, I know that person. And, you know, Orlando's such a small town, you hear that all the time. And it is, it's true. Yet we have, what, 250,000 people that live just in the city of Orlando, which is dink, you know, it's tiny. So we have a ton of population here. And every time I fly out of state and I come flying back in on Southwest, which is my favorite airline, I fly over over Baldwin Park, you know, Lake Baldwin and that area coming down 436. And I just look at the sprawl. And there's just so many, you know, so much going on. There's just people moving about and buildings and homes and pools and golf courses and, you know, ballparks. And it's just, I get such a feeling of excitement and anticipation to get back home.
Yeah.
And to really just be in a beautiful place.
Well, and you can't go anywhere else or talk to someone who isn't from here and tell them where you live and have them not have an opinion, right? Everybody has some story about Orlando. Everybody says, oh, I went there when I was this old. Oh, my mom has a home down there. Oh, my aunt and this guy and this thing and whatever. Everybody I've ever talked to has something to say about this place. A lot of it is completely wrong, if you ask me. And a lot of it is based on an area about 25 miles that way. But that's what it is, right? So it is more than anything, maybe Paris, maybe New York have similar kinds of mythology around them, but everybody has an Orlando story.
Yeah, I love that. So I love it here. My husband and I make this our home, and And we have no plans on leaving. We love having it be our hub, and we love to travel and get out there and see the world and be a part of what's going on worldwide. But yet, it's always wonderful coming home to Orlando. So
awesome. Yeah, so that's really the end of my interview. I don't know if you want to add anything else at this point. We are at 40 minutes, so this is pretty normal for us here on the show. So we should probably give you some time to plug something, right? You have your event coming up May 8th and the 10th, which is a Sunday and a Tuesday?
Yes, that's correct. But this Write Shop is it's called Compass, and I plan on offering this once a month. And it's a free workshop, or Write Shop, if you will. And it's going to be evolving.
Hello, this is Ryan Price. At this time, as sometimes happens, the audio for the rest of this interview has been lost. So I want to invite you all to check out better3.com for information about Terry's workshops. Also, please subscribe to the Florida Creatives podcast in your favorite podcast directory and leave us some positive reviews there. We have our happy hours every month in Orlando. And if anyone is interested in contributing an episode to the Florida Creatives podcast, we would love to have you do that. Once again, I've been Ryan Price, and your guest today was Terry Pappy. Bye.